So what I'd like to do with our time in this session is I want to spend a little bit of time talking about some lessons learned, and then I want to give you an opportunity to do a little Q&A. So let me go through some of the lessons learned, and I'm going to put this in the category of here's a few things that the Lord has helped me learn over the last 17 years. And maybe that they'll be a blessing for you along the way as well. And maybe there's even an opportunity for a scholarship here where you can learn something from me instead of having to learn through it the hard way yourself. But the first lesson I'd like to suggest is you are always dependent on God's work for genuine spiritual change. You're always dependent on God's work for spiritual change. And there's a couple of implications of that work. Number one is I think it gives you confidence, because when you are in a situation where you have a counseling case that's new to you or that has some components to it that you haven't dealt with before, one of the challenges that we might have is to say, well, we can't handle it. And the reality is as soon as I say I can't handle this one, what am I saying about the others? That I can, right? That I can handle the other ones. Now, I'm not trying to minimize the place of skill here, but I am trying to maximize the significance of God is the one who does the work. And so I'm not going to hurt somebody if I seek to minister to them biblically. Now, it may be that somebody else could do that job better, but I'm not going to hurt them if what I have done is honestly taken them to the Lord Jesus to open his word in a thoughtful and careful way, and then sought to explain how God wants their relationship to grow and to mature. I think that also implies that there's a certain structure to my counseling hour. For example, there are some people who have come to us and said, you know, I've gone to counseling before and they never prayed with me. Now, I'm not talking about praying in the sense of, all right, let's pray as we start because that's our obligation, as much as I'm suggesting praying because it's our need. Lord, we need your help today. We need your help in this session. My counselees need your help in order to be honest and to remember the things that are going on in their life. And I need your help in order to connect what your word says to the things that they're going through right now. And so it's not just simply going through the motions or checking off something on the list. Instead, it's us as counselors genuinely saying, Lord, we need your help, and genuinely instructing our counselees that we need your help. When I give homework, one of the things that I typically assign every week to every counselee is to spend a certain amount of time, somewhere between 2 and 5 minutes, praying about the things that brought you into the counseling room. And I'm not doing that because I just simply want them to pray more about the situation than I do. I'm doing it because I want to communicate a message to them that says, God is the one who is the change agent here, and we're asking God to do it. And all of us, you and me, recognize our dependence on the Lord right now. And so let's act like we're dependent, not only by praying in our session, but also by you going home and praying about those very same things. Now, number two, your counselees are asking questions of you just as you are asking questions of them. That was helpful to me because there were certain things that I knew that were true. I mean, I knew that I needed to exercise Proverbs 18:13. He who answers the matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame to him. And so I knew that I needed to do a lot of question asking. I got that. But I think that one of the things that I did when I first started counseling is I neglected the fact that they were also asking a bunch of series of questions from me. And I'm not talking about the questions that necessarily came out of their mouth. I'm talking about the questions that flow out of the key elements. Things like, can I trust you? You know, Ed Welch, I saw this. I can't remember if it was in a one of his writings or if it was in a talk that I heard, but he made a very interesting statement that I thought was really, really helpful. He said, counseling is false intimacy. Counseling is false intimacy. And what he meant by that is that when I come to you for counseling, even though you and I do not have a relationship that could bear the weight of what I'm going to tell you, I tell you anyway. Does that make sense? It's a false intimacy. There's no way that just meeting on the street, I would tell you about my deepest, darkest sins. But as a result of us being involved in counseling together, I am going to give you a level of intimacy into my life that others do not have. I thought that was really helpful. And if that's true, that my counseling is actually based on a false intimacy at the beginning, then some of the questions that they have are extremely relevant. So I want to be wrestling with questions like, does my counselee really think that this is helpful to them? Does my counselee really believe that I care about them? Does my counselee believe that I can be trusted with the information that they tell me? And that reminds me that counseling isn't just giving advice. It's also about a relationship that we establish. It may not be a lifelong relationship, but it nevertheless is a relationship. And I want to be a good steward of the relationship opportunities that I have. And for some of you, you develop really meaningful relationships with your counselees right away. Others of us don't necessarily think along those kinds of lines naturally. And so our tendency is to think that we don't have a relationship with our counselor. I mean, we're just here, we're going to meet for a period of months, and then we're going to be done, and we'll never see each other again. And yet, the issue of developing a relationship with that person, even if it's just going to last during the time that you have a counseling ministry to them, is nevertheless significant. And it helps me to remember that not every person in my life who I would consider having a significant part in my spiritual growth and development was necessarily there for a long time. Some were, but others were not. God just put them in the right place at the right time when I needed to hear the right thing. And maybe that's the way the counseling is going to be. You as a counselor are just going to be there at the right place, at the right time, saying the right thing. And that is going to be incredibly meaningful to the person that you're ministering to. Then number three. Sometimes a counseling failure is more about me than about my counselee. When we have counseling failures, the easy thing to do is just to blame our counselee for it. And we say things like, they weren't a real counselee. Or they didn't like what God's word had to say about a particular subject, and so they decided that they didn't want to hear about it anymore. And maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. But it might also be true that if the person left, maybe the reason they left is because they didn't think that I cared very much about them and their concerns. Maybe I violated 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 says, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. What happens if I wasn't very patient? That's on me, right? Not on them. What happens if I admonish the person who was faint-hearted? That's on me. That's not on them. And so sometimes counseling failure is not so much about my counselee as much as it is about me. And I think that's an opportunity that God is giving you as counselors as a chance to change, a chance to be different, a chance to say, okay, Lord, I am now in this ministry.